and tell yourself a statement that if you lived him one day longer, you miss a disaster. It's just a disaster. People don't know. People don't know what happened. You know, they think it's better this way, it's better that way. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim thinks different. But the Gemara tells us, the Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, Rav Nachman sends some people to dig a well. It was in Iraq. I think it was in Iraq. They start digging, so somebody from downstairs screams, "Stop, stop, you're going to kill me." Then they called Rav Nachman, who was the chief. Rav goes over to him and says, "Hello?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Rav Abba Yoshia." He says, "Hi, nice talking to you." He says, "What are you doing down there?" He says, "I'm waiting for Mashiach." I says, "Are you not dead?" He says, "Of course not dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm waiting for Mashiach. I lie down over here." He says, "Don't you know? Don't you learn Mishle?" He says, "Shlomo HaMelech says, Rekev Atzamot Kina. If you have jealousy, your bones will deteriorate. If you have no jealousy, you lie down over there and you wait for Mashiach." He says to him, "Really?" He says, "Please get those people away from here." He says, "If that's true," he says, "What do you mean that's true? I'm talking to you." He says, "So why don't you come up when I have pizza?" He says, "Listen, which school did you go? Don't you know I'm not allowed to come outside?" He says, "Ki afar ata vel afar tashu." He says, "You were created from soil and you have to be in the soil. I'm not allowed to come outside unless you're not going to tell you to come outside. I can't." So he asks him, "So tell me, what's going to be when Mashiach will come with all the people that are alive in time of Mashiach?" He said, "Hashem said you were born, you were created from soil, and you can end up in soil." He says, "You know what? Let me tell you something. All the people that be alive when Mashiach will come, when Mashiach will arrive, they'll fall on the floor dead for a minute, and they'll get up. That's what you have to go through in your life. But I'm alive here in my grave." But I have a lot of stories. I didn't come here to tell you stories. But it's not so simple to be in this world. How are you? Not good. What's so good about you? He says, "Olam Haba, in Gan Eden." He says, "Good over there." So, of course, the family misses the person. But if you know the truth about life, you accumulate more fortune here, eat more things, drug more, sell more, buy more. That's life. That's what George Rabizadeh said, that's what the Rosh Shiloh Rafael said, Rav Abba Yoshia said. You have to be realistic. In Russia, they opened up the coffin twice, they moved the Gaon Mivilna. And they opened up his coffin twice, they saw like water on his beard. He was like he died the day before. In Bnei Brak, about 60 years ago, they brought Rebbe Mivishnitz from Europe, from Romania. He was buried over there. So Chazanish called his son. His son was the Vishnitz Rebbe in Bnei Brak. He said, "You bring your father, I'd ask you a favor. When the coffin is going to get there, why don't you open the coffin? Show everybody your father is complete. Doesn't have one wrinkle, and he was already, I don't know, 30 years maybe in the ground." Chazanish knew. Can you imagine the embarrassment? He would open up and it would be a cat inside. So he said, "I know my father, you're right." In the middle of the funeral, he says, "Everybody, you want to see? You want to see the Rebbe?" It's called, open up the coffin. The guy lies over there like he died a minute ago. So you see, it's the Olam Haba, it's different. I have a lot of stories. So again, Shaul Chai ben Miriam, if Hashem gives him life, he should be well, he should give up. With your permission. Let's fix parasha. The way we were taught in kindergarten, in school, in high school, maybe in yeshiva, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go in front of Paro and start the 10 makot, 10 plagues. Tam, Sfadei, Akinim, Arov, Devil, Shechin, Barad, this 6th parasha. So the way the Torah tells us, Hashem tells Moshe, you should know, I'm going to send you down to him, but I will make his heart hard, that he'll be very stubborn, and I'll hit him more, until next week, Makat Bechorot, the firstborn will die, excuse me, then he's going to release you. Excuse me, it's not a fair game. It's not a fair game. What do you mean you're going to make his heart hard? It's a very, very sensitive subject. Hakadosh Baruch Hu closed the gates of Teshuva from somebody. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to do it. Don't be surprised. You're going to get there and he's going to say, yes, okay, go. He says, no, yes, no, yes, no. All the time, yes, no. This is Hashem made it. Hashem made it. For what? This is Hashem. I want to show you something. What do I want to show you something? This is not the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do such a thing. The Baruch Hu is God of mercy. The guy said, get out. I let you go out. And you change his mind. He said, why change your mind? Hashem made it. He should change his mind. It's not, when we say, Chas Shalom, you can say this. It's not fair. Hashem should say such a thing. The Rambam said, you know, the Rambam asked this question. He says, sometimes a person can do so bad, the Kadosh Baruch Hu closes the gate of the Shuvah. But it's not exactly. The Rambam writes, I mean, the Gemara says, that Menashe, the king, son of Hezekiah, Menashe killed hundreds of thousands of people. Besides, he put a statue in the Beit HaMikdash. And the king of Iraq, Babel, came and took him, put him in jail down there. And in jail, he started to call all the Avodah Zarah. Buddha help me, this guy help me, this guy, this statue help me. And then he said like this, Hashem, listen, I want to know, are you really Hashem? Get me out of jail. The Gemara says, all of a sudden, it was like a little hurricane, and the hurricane broke the gate of the jail, and took him, flew him, back to Yerushalayim. The Gemara, what happened? The Kadosh Baruch Hu, so-called drilled, dug under his Kisei HaKavod, the angel stood, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't, let him stay in jail. He said, no, he wants to make Teshuvah, let him make Teshuvah. Says the Gemara, all the angels closed the gates in Shamayim of Tishar HaTefillah, but Hashem, the Gemara said, he drilled, Chatar lo Chatira, tachat Kisei HaKavod, under the chair of Hashem, and took him, brought him back to Yerushalayim, Menashe Hashem Rasha. And here comes Paro, and he wants to do Teshuvah. And he will do Teshuvah. And then he will survive Yam Suf. And then he's going to be the king of Nineveh. And then you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him go. So, what's the purpose now? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, when he actually says, I'm going to make Paro's heart hard. He will change his mind. He won't let you out. Laman Abot Moftai. He says, I want to show. What am I going to show? The guy said, get him out. No, change his mind. So the Makot started. Dam, it's no, but Sfadea. Sfadea, frog. Frogs all over. The power calls up Moshe, says, we can't take it. So Moshe asked Paro, so what do you want? So Paro said, please pray to Hashem. Pray to Hashem. Moshe prays to Hashem to stop the frogs. Excuse me. Why do you pray to Hashem? Why the Torah has to tell you that? Who cares? Who cares if the frogs stop? The frogs are going to go. Who cares? As the Gemara said, Moshe vayitzak Moshe אלא השם על דבר הספרדיים. It is not much just pray, you know, say one chapter Tehillim. It screams to Hashem. Then it goes on. In other Makot also. Moshe scream, Moshe prays, doesn't scream. Scream only in Sfardim. She prays Vayetar. The Makat Barad, hail from Shamaim. When Moshe goes outside, raises his hand. First Kapay El Hashem. It's a major job to pray to Hashem and hold the hands up. He says, why do you have to pray? What do you mean? If you wouldn't pray, you wouldn't stop. So, why are you praying? Well, I ask you to pray, so why are you praying? Comes the Torah, that's how it goes. In the Makot also, Makat Arov, it's the first time it says in the Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go tell Paro that the animals, Arov and animals came all over Egypt and ate the people. Hashem tells Paro, tell Moshe, go tell Paro that when the Jews leave in the ghetto, in Goshen, no animals will go in. It's a question. It's a question, but some Chachamim said for sure lice went also to the Jewish people. It's a question about frogs. But here, at Arov, it's called the animals, Hashem tells Moshe, go tell him, Yifleti. Hashem said, I'm going to separate. I'm Israel from you. You're not going to have it. So, and if he, but of course, it means it would try to convince power to believe in Hashem. But again, he changed his mind. So it didn't help anything. And the question is, what really Hashem, what does Hashem want from power? What does he want from him? Actually, we all remember Avraham Avinu when he was 70 years old, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him the first time and told him, listen, your children are going to be slaves in a strange country and they're going to be tortured. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, it's a punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the first Hitler, Paro. This is why. Because the Jewish people have to go through that. Whatever the reason is. The Gemara says there's a reason, so they have to go. In the same sentence, the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu in his prophecy, V'gam et hagoy asher ya'avodu dan anochi. Also, you should know I'm going to judge that nation. What do you mean to judge that nation? What judge that nation? Just of course, it means the Gemara says now what we're going to start. This Shabbat is 10 Makot. It says that refers to Hashem's statement to Abraham. Even though your children are going to be tortured, but the nation are going to torture them, I'm going to judge them. I'm going to give them a hard time. He says, I don't understand. Why are you doing it? He says, you chose that nation to give them a hard time, right? Now you're going to punish them. If somebody, you know, was hired to be a policeman, and after he gives a ticket, he goes back to the office, the lieutenant gives him a punishment. So why you gave the guy a ticket? So you gave him to give him a ticket. Hashem chose Egypt to be the nation to torture Israel. That's what the Torah says. In 1 minute, everybody is a slave over there. In 1 minute, they take the children, throw them into the Nile. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, V'gam et hagoy asher ya'avodu dan anochi. That nation that is going to torture your children, I'm going to punish them. Then your children are going to go out without a fortune. All the Chachamim is fortune. What fortune? Who needs the fortune? You tell me my grandson is going to be a slave. He's going to be tortured for 400 years. And then he's going to go out of slavery. And he's going to be very rich. He says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know from it. What is it? It's a prize. Not only that, comes the Gemara and says, Rabbeinu Tam Bozne Am, next week's parasha, next week's parasha, Hashem tells Moshe, go tell the nation, please go borrow dishes from your neighbors, silver and gold dishes, and go tell them, listen, I have to go on a trip, and I'm going to the desert for a few days, I need dishes, can you give me dishes? Each one was able to collect so many dishes to be able to load 90 donkeys.
What do you need first of all? No. Hashem says, I promise Avraham, listen. I promise Avraham that his children are going to be rich. How are you going to be rich? You go to the neighbor and say, listen, can I borrow from you $1 million? It's for a few days. And he runs away to Brazil. Go look for him. So if a person wants to make somebody rich, he's going to win a lotto. He's going to dig in his backyard, he's going to find a fortune. Or whatever it means, he's going to do business. Hashem does not say to somebody, you're going to be rich. How? Go to your neighbor, borrow from him all his silver and gold dishes. They were very, very wealthy in Egypt, to go in. Put it on your donkeys and run away with it. This is honesty. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. For what? I don't know why my children have to be rich. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to Avraham Avinu anyway? But let's assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants my children to be rich. So, that's the way how to make somebody rich. It's not so simple. Not so simple to steal from the goyim. Big punishment. Big punishment. The Be'er HaGolah in Shulchan Aruch says the Holocaust before the last Holocaust was 350 years ago by Chmielewski in Poland killed millions of Jews, small children also. Shapira, Vermaizia, Magenza, three cities destroyed, killed millions of Jews. Rabbanim Tzadikim. He writes in his commentary, this is the only Vilna's grandfather. He says, because the goyim cheated. The Jews cheated the goyim in Europe. Cheated them. Now to cheat a goyim, now to steal from a goyim. Now to steal from a goyim. Here Hashem said, you know, you're going to be rich by go borrow from dishes. Don't borrow from dishes. Let's borrow dishes. First of all, what do you mean borrow dishes? At least you make a short sale. You know, you find chapter 7, chapter 11, you know, you go back to him, the bank, you buy cheap and you run away. You go borrow? It's real theft. Here comes the Torah and tells us one of the 630 mitzvot is Lo tetaev mitzri ki ge raita be'arzo. He can't hate if you would know. Today we don't know because Sancheriv, the first Adam Hussein, mixed, as Gemara says, mixed the whole world. He took nation after nation and moved all the nation to a different country they should not be able to rebel against. Because the Gemara, Erbevet kol ha'olam. Today you don't know who is Ammon, who is Moab, who is Amalek, who is Midian. You have no idea. Nobody has roots anymore. Besides the people of North Carolina. Nobody has roots. You have no idea who you are. You have no idea. Besides us, of course. Zchut ha'Torah. All the nations. My grandfather was Egyptian. It's not true. The people in Egypt are not the original Egyptians. But if you know, the Torah says, the Torah was given to us. It says, before this guy Sancheriv mixed the world, says the Gemara. Or you know for sure, you find somebody has a tree in his house, that says he's Egyptian. He says, oh, you Egyptian? You're great-grandson of this SS in Egypt. They took the children and threw them into the Nile. They took the children and put them into the wars. They took the children and slaughtered them. They took people, gave them a hard time. People died, people were missing hands, feet in hard labor. Is he the grandson? The Gemara says, you cannot hate him. The Gemara says, why cannot I hate him? Well, you should hate him. He says, because, says the Gemara, he gave you an entry to Egypt while it was a famine. So Yaakov and his children came down to Egypt. The immigration could have told them, listen, don't come inside here. You want to buy some flour, some bread? Go ahead. Now go back to Israel. Can't live here. And says the immigration in Egypt, let us come, even though they didn't let us come. We Yosef's family. What do you expect? Doesn't matter. But if you would have a thought in your head that you want to hate them, you cannot hate them. Why? Because they gave us an entry. Here's an simple example. A Meshulach knocks on somebody's door and says, hi. I said, hi, I'm Meshulach from Israel. I say, can I have a cookie and tea? So he comes inside and gives him a tuna cookie. Then he starts banging on him. He says, what are you doing? Nothing. I remember you did something bad sometimes. So what this has to do with anything? Because you gave him a cookie? See, because you gave him a cookie? So what? This poor Meshulach now is going to have to love you for the rest of his life. Of his life, because you gave him a cookie. In the meantime, what did you do to him? You hit him with a stick, you bang on his head, he fainted, you took him to the hospital, he's crippled, he's collected now unemployment, he can't work for his life. He says, this man, I have to appreciate him, he gave me a cookie. The Egyptian, with all the kavod, all the respect, let us come into Egypt. Okay, but what did he do after? Then they tortured us and took our children, took them to the Nile, put them inside the wall, inside the bricks, slaughtered children, power to make a bath in the blood of the children, took the older man to the side, hard labor. I said, listen, they gave you permission to come to Egypt. So they give them a right? Give them a right to send them to concentration camp? What kind of mitzvah is this? Comes Rabotai Yeshayahu Navin should know the whole parasha is backwards. Whatever we were taught in kindergarten, in school, in high school, I hope not in yeshiva, the whole thing is backwards. Backwards. It says Yeshayahu Navin. You want to take it home? This is chapter 43. Natati Kofrecha Mitzrayim Kush Usva Tachtecha. What does it mean? Explanation. Natati. Hashem said it. Janavi said. Hashem told me to tell you. I gave Kofrecha your kapara Mitzrayim Kush, the country Kush, Usva, the country Usva, Tachtecha, instead of you. Says the Gemara, says Nabi Yechezkel. Plus, during the parasha last week, Moshe complained to Hashem. He said, since I came, things got worse. Why things got worse? Hashem is very upset at him. So why are you talking like this? Moshe is right. You imagine Moses and the Mashiach was sent down to Egypt, comes to Paro, instead things to get, excuse me, easier and better. Paro gives a harder time, no more straw, hit the Jewish police, hit the people. Moses said to Hashem, why did you send me? And Hashem said, what are you talking about? Moses is right. See, Sen Ali Yechezkel says the Gemara like this. That's how the real story goes. Am Israel, after Yosef died, and maybe a little bit after Yosef died, they stopped doing Brit Milah in Egypt. Besides Shevet Levi, one opinion also Shevet Reuven and Shimon, but the way the Gemara says, everybody said, well, for Brit Milah, for what Brit Milah? Finished. The minute they said it, then the slavery started. Until that moment was no slavery. Even though Hashem told Abraham Avinu, Hashem will be slaves for 400 years, never happened for 400 years. Real slavery was only 86 years. Real slavery. A little bit more slavery, I think was 111 or 112, not more. We ended up in Egypt for 210 years. But prosperity, business, the Jews were very rich over there. The day they started the real slavery, maybe it's 111 or 112 years. Since the time Menashe died. And when Miriam was born, Miriam, the word Miriam comes from Maror. Then they started the real torture. So 86 years. But why it started? Because we stopped doing Brit Milah. Who says it? Nabi Yechezkel. Nabi Yechezkel says, Moshe Rabbeinu came. He says, I'm the Mashiach. So what do you expect everybody to say? Okay, here's the Mashiach. Oh Hashem. So let's do Brit Milah. No, no one does Brit Milah. Moshe is there in Egypt. Start the Makot, Makah after Makah. Nobody does Brit Milah. Not only don't do Brit Milah, they go to the parties of Avodah Zarah. Dancing around the sheep. Worshipping Avodah Zarah in Egypt. He says, Moshe is here, the Mashiach is here. He said, before Moshe came, okay, so, you know, people after Holocaust came to America, they threw next to Ellis Island the tefillin in the ocean. I said, forget about it. Hashem did not save me. Look what happened. I saw my family
vanished in the chambers, forget about it. Okay. Now the Mashiach is here, Moshe is here, Moshe is here. There's no more labor. As it passed over the time of the Mitzrayim Rosh Hashanah. It's not, they were slaves. There's no more slavery. Slavery was over, finished. All of a sudden, they're walking on the street. They're selling water, Pola Spring to the Goyim, to all the Egyptians. Says the Gemara, they became very rich from selling the water. So, how about Brit Milah? No Brit Milah. Moshe comes and tells them, listen, the day before we come out of Egypt. It says 10 days on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Moshe tells them, listen, on the 10th day of Chodesh Nisan, you go take a sheep or a goat, you tie it to your bed, you slaughter it the day before we go out. Slaughter it, take the blood, put it around the post around the door. We live in Egypt. But let me tell you something. You have to do a Brit Milah to eat from that sheep and the goat. You think somebody did Brit Milah? No one did Brit Milah. The day before we left, the slaughter, yeah, why not, barbecue. The slaughter, they roast it. Says the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought a wind from Gan Eden with a very good smell, and the smell of the roast of the Korban Pesach. And the Gan Eden made everybody so hungry and thirsty, they came to Moshe, listen, Moshe, we're going to have now a barbecue. Moshe said, listen, you're going to choke on it. You have to have Brit Milah. He said, okay, Moshe, I'm going to do Brit Milah. We want to have a piece of steak. But the piece of steak, we did Brit Milah. The last moment, the Gemara says, the last moment. He says, Moshe is here already, almost a year in Egypt. And you see all the Makot in Egypt. You see what happened to the Egyptians. You still do Avodah Zarah? No. When they come out of Egypt, in the Antashekes, they still have statues. While they're crossing Yam Suf, Pesach Micha Over Et Hamayam, we cross Yam Suf, and you see all the Egyptians behind us drawn in the water, and we have in the Antashekes a statue. So things, of course, things got worse. What does Moshe expect? That's Hashem himself. That's how the parasha starts. Hashem has said to Moshe, why are you talking like this? What do you mean by talking like this? Things got worse. The things got worse. Should get worse. You still don't do Brit Milah. You still do Avodah Zarah. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works this way. Atatik of Racha Mitzrayim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you read in the text, Hashem said to Moshe, listen, it's true everything. I got to do it because I promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. For this, I'm going to take them out of Egypt. They don't deserve it. If you don't do Brit Milah, and you do Avodah Zarah, you don't deserve to come out. I'm going to tell you something else. A person does a sin, he does teshuvah. Still, he needs to bring a sacrifice to the Tamikdash. Doesn't go without it. The Gemara said, somebody in our time commits a sin, Tamikdash is going to come with Rabbi Aminu, Amen. Then you have to come to the Tamikdash with a goat, or with a sheep, or with a bull, that says, for something we did. Beshogeg, without a purpose. Says the Gemara, Bishmael, on Shabbat, played with a candle. I says, oh, what did I do? I says, Chatat Shmuna. I says, Betamikdash is going to come, I'm going to have to bring a big, fat goat. By mistake, I played with the light on Shabbat, with the fire on Shabbat. It doesn't matter, you know, we think, you know, it's Tachanun, Bashamnu, Bagadnu, doesn't go that way. You still have to have a kapara. Without kapara, the sin is still on. Not full, not in the full weight. Then Yom Kippur, we all remember, is a special goat. They used to take the goat and throw it off the cliff. And the goat had a piece of red ribbon around his neck. There was a red ribbon in Bet HaMikdash on the door. When that goat was thrown next to Yericho, and he came down, this was the kapara from Israel. The ribbon over there became white, and the ribbon in Bet HaMikdash became white. This was a sign of kapara. Even though I'm saying teshuva, it doesn't help the teshuva. We need a kapara. You need somebody else to take that sin. In Asa HaSa'ir, Et avonotam el eretz gzera. It says you need a kapara. Somebody brought a sacrifice of a tamidash. He has to put his hands and lean on it with all his strength. And he said, you were created for my kapara. That's the kaparot we do before Yom Kippur
And he said, what do you do kaparot for? Are you teshuva? No, you take a chicken, or you take money. He says, this is my kapara. We made it to kapara. It is kapara. You did teshuva. He says, no, it doesn't help. Teshuva, it means you're not going to do it again. And I'm embarrassed I did it. And I promise I'm not going to do it. But then you need a kapara. You need a kapara. Natati kofrecha mitzrayim, said the Sharon Nabi, I'll tell you a secret. Whatever the Egyptians are getting is because we should have gotten it. They are our kapara because they're wicked people. The wicked people, they have the kapara for the world. Natati kofrecha mitzrayim. Hashem said, you don't understand, let me explain to you. I told your grandfather Abraham, that's how I told Abraham. I told Abraham, listen, your children are going to be slaves in Egypt. And they're going to be tortured. He says, why are they going to be tortured? I'll let you know later. I'll tell you later. What's behind it? Because they don't do Brit Milah. What's behind it? They do Avodah Zarah. They're going to be tortured. Until they're going to do Avodah Zarah. Until they stop Brit Milah, there's going to be no torturing. It's just going to be an exile. Exile is a kapara. Exile is a kapara. But you have to stay a Jew. You can assimilate, and you can do what you want. If you do what you want, you need another kapara. Let me tell you something. Those people over there, they're going to torture you. They are your kapara. In the end, I'm going to move. The punishment I want to give you, I'm going to give it to them. Why? Excuse me. Because they're wicked people. Because they're very bad people. Bad people. People who will not transfer gezerot on somebody innocent. Like the goat that took the sins and was thrown off to the cliff. So why you throw it? Why you throw it? He says, it's because he gets all the sins. וגם את הגוי אשר יעבודו דן אנוכי. יש לך כתובות לאברהם, see? They need the kapara at the end. They don't do ברית מילה, they need the kapara. They do have the zora, excuse me. They're going to be the kapara. ואחרי ניצאו בחוש גדול, let me explain to you something. They're going to go borrow dishes. Because you have to understand, you're here on this world that's temporary. You don't own anything. Whatever they have, it's their kapara. For example, Baruch Hashem, you haven't, I don't know if he's still alive. I hope, maybe, I don't know. It's Shemon Hashem Yerkav, Mrs. Hemsley. Before she died, she gave all her fortune to the dog. I think $14 million. It's the richest dog in America, I think, at the time. Let's assume, if you think about it, somebody go and gets the dog. Now, you have the $14 million. Because the dog owns it. Now the dog belongs to you. So you own it. So the Egyptians, they had silver and gold dishes. But they are our kapara. It means whatever they have, it's mine. That's Hashem told Abraham Avinu. It's going to be a sign. Your children are going to go out of Egypt with a kapara. Natati kofrecha mitzrayim. Egypt, said Nabi Yeshayahu, is going to give you a kapara. There it's because they're wicked people. And every time in the history, if you saw the history, whoever gave us hard time, at the end vanished. All those big nations, Greece, Rome, Italy, Iraq, Saddam Hussein, all these people, the wicked people, they are the tool to bring us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the wicked people, they are our kapara. Because the wicked people, because the good people, Hashem will not do it. And that's the secret. Here comes Hashem to Moshe, he says, go to Paro, I'm going to make his heart hard. Why? Because he is your kapara. If he's going to send you out, I can't do anything to him. But I have to do it to him. Because if I'm not going to do it to him, you cannot go outside. Because you misbehaved in Egypt. Mamrim itchem. Miyom dati etchem, Moshe said, from Israel, since day one, you never listen. But Yamru al Yamsuf. Before Yamsuf, before you went in, after you came out, before the man, this, love, butter, this. The whole time, we didn't behave. You need the kapara. So we have a Beit HaMikdash, a kapara. You know, a Beit HaMikdash, it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses a wicked person, El Capone, Abu Muaz, all these Fatah Hamas, and says, they are our kapara.
Hashem chose something that Israel was able to kill this guy. Israel was able to have this guy kapara because he's a wicked man. That's how it goes. Kushus vatachtecha, says Navi Shaya, let me explain to you something how far it goes. This person, Adam Hussein Sancheriv, went and took 10 tribes, threw them behind some bakken, don't know where they are. And he came to Yerushalayim. In the meantime, also he had a war. So the state is called Kush, a state is called Tzva. He took a lot of hostages. He took all of them and brought all of them to Yerushalayim. He made a siege around Yerushalayim. In the morning, Chizkiyahu gets up, millions of soldiers died. He says, why? Why they died? They died, says Navi Yishayahu, Kush usva tachtecha, all of them your kapara. Look at people. What do you want from Yerushalayim? Why do you come for the siege in Yerushalayim? What did you do to the 10 tribes? You did it? Yeah, they deserve. But why Hashem chose you? It says, you should know, somebody gives you a hard time, it means from in Shamayim, he was written as a bad person, he's a wicked man. At the end, he's going to be your kapara. So here comes the Torah and tells you, listen, Moshe comes and tells power, it's going to be blood, it's going to be frogs, it's going to be lice, it's going to be animals. Let me tell you, the Jews will not have animals. They will not have. Why? Says the Gemara, you know why? Because you, the kapara for them. Says the Mechazkel, Hashem should have killed all of us in Egypt because we didn't do Brit Milah and because we did not throw the Avodah Zarah. Walking in Yamsu, we still had Avodah Zarah and Amtishekes. Put Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's like the Briti, that's the Torah, the introduction, this is Parasha. Hashem told us, you don't understand the whole story, you don't understand the story. He says, you know, things got harder, and of course got harder. After you come down to Egypt, no one does Brit Milah, and this kid all of them do Avodah Zarah. Of course things got harder. What do you think? I have to teach them a lesson, I don't believe it. Let me tell you, I promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I'll take them out. Still, I can't take them out because, you know, the credit line is full. They need the kapara. Okay, hopefully those people will be their kapara. And later the Torah tells you that Moshe Rabbeinu goes and prays, he prays to Hashem. Why are you praying to Hashem? Stop, you know. When I pray to Hashem, stop, it means no kapara. It means the Jews might get it. But since it's going to be Kiddush Hashem, the power would release us, Moshe prayed to Hashem, Hashem, please, stop it, it's going to be Kiddush Hashem, he's going to let us go, with the kapara, let's find another kapara, soon it's going to be the Mishkan, we do kaparot. Right now, Moshe is praying, stop, even though he should not have prayed, because they are all kapara. Let's now understand now this mitzvah. Hashem said, don't hate an Egyptian, this is why, because they gave you a free entry to Egypt. That was the famine. Now how about whatever they did to us? They threw our children to the Nile. They put them in the wall. He says, you don't understand. Those things happened because you stopped doing Brit Milah. They were the tool to do it. They were your kapara. So whatever they did to us in Egypt, says the Torah, don't hate him. And what do you mean, don't hate him? Look what they did to me. You don't understand. They did to you because you did not behave. Why did you do Avodah Zarah in Egypt? Why didn't you do Brit Milah in Egypt? So you hate them because it's rude? No, he was chosen. At the end is going to be your kapara. But still, he has credit. Gave you an entry, free entry to Egypt. No hard time in immigration. The Torah says, listen, don't hate him. So the whole thing is backwards now. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Egypt. I says, why are you punishing him? You send the Jews over there to suffer. They told Abraham. He says, you don't understand. Hashem chose Egypt because at the end they're going to be our kaparas. So every time the Jews suffer, he says, you know, the Arabs attack us. Says the Navi, says the Zohar. At the end, you see all these Arabs down the drain. They are our kapara. Dati chofercha Mitzrayim, Kush usva tachtera. I says, who loves us so much, and he gives us a chance to have a kapara. And he says, the idea is, somebody has hardship, Chachamim saying in his lifetime. You need to have some, you need a kapara. Some people go in our time. They go to a slaughterhouse and they slaughter something. They slaughter. There is no Beit HaMikdash. It doesn't have the same energy and the same effect. But still, you need a kapara. It doesn't have, okay, I did teshuva. I did something wrong. I'm sorry. It's says, very necessary. Now you got to pay. You got to pay. Like someone, you know, Hashalom, somebody had an accident. He hit somebody, comes and says, hi, I'm sorry. He says, so look at the car. Look what happened on the Maserati. Look what happened. The damage, $100,000. What's wrong with you? I'm sorry. It doesn't happen, sorry. You need to pay. Kapara is a payment. You need to pay. You need to have kapara. As it's something, you know, I did teshuva. What does Hashem want for me? What does Hashem want? I did this, but I'm Baal teshuva. I'm sorry. I didn't keep Shabbat. I cheated. I did this. Listen, with all the respect, fine, you did teshuva. But you need the kapara. You need the kapara. As Rosh Hashanah, you can put pass, you need the kapara. As Chachamim says, Zdaka, Tatil Mimavet. Gemara says, Zdaka is a kapara. Zdaka is a kapara. Meat is a kapara. You give meat to poor people, it's kapara. Otherwise, ask Hashem, who is my kapara? Who is my kapara? Let's chat this for a second. Was a very big rabbi.